Let's turn over in our Bibles where we were last week in the book of John, the 11th chapter. Here's a great record of the healing and calling of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and the glorious declaration of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he declares, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters went, or sent rather, unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, For this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he'd heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he said, he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things he said. After that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I might awaken him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, for the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now, last week we began to look at this great chapter, and of course some of the implications of this great statement of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's really the focus of the whole chapter. And the whole context, the Lord of life, the Lord of life. Jesus declaring himself, as the book of John so beautifully began, that Jesus was the Word that was with God and the Word that was God. That Jesus is the source of all life, and not only physical life, but spiritual life. And we know how John, by the Holy Spirit, opened up that first chapter, and he really took us back in our thoughts to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when we read, In the beginning God created heaven and earth. And then that great chapter declared that God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And then the book of John, of course, the one who describes himself as the light of the world, and the light that shineth out of darkness, is the same one that John acknowledges by him, and through him all things that were created. And so we recognize the Bible is just a unique book. It's the book of God, and it's the book that God has communicated to us, the things that we need to know for this life and the life to come. Men are very busy about many things, trying to find out the cause of life, or the beginning of life, or what life or what death is all about. But the book of God reveals all these to us. We don't have to go far to understand it. and God has given us a record of what life is and what death is, where life originated, and why there's death, and there's a purpose in everything that God has created, and He continues to sustain what He has created, and all things are working according His great plan and His design and His purpose as He's gathering a people unto Himself from across the world by the Word of God and Holy Spirit, and will bring everything to its proper conclusion. A lot of time is spent. I see there are 3 or 4 astronauts preparing again to go up in space and to go around the moon several times, but take a longer trip and go out a little bit further to prepare the next mission of people who actually go back to the moon. We haven't been there for a number of years, to again look at the surface of the moon and see if it's viable to live on. And of course, part of it is to see where life came from and where life's going. And of course, then our government and the governments of the world are thinking about how we have to go further out into space and go to Mars. Musk says we have to go to Mars in order to colonize it, because in so many years the Earth is going to be all worn out, and men will be all worn out, and it won't be able, the Earth, to sustain man, so we better have a place to go. Of course, they say it would take about 40 years to get to Mars. Now, I don't know who is going to volunteer to go up in one of those little space capsules for 40 years and be separated from all their families and all they know, to live in some kind of suit to experiment and die up on Mars. I don't know, but I'm not one of them who's going to volunteer to do so. Because I already know that life began because God created it, and life has a purpose, life has a beginning, and life has an end. But in the plan and purpose of God, though, life, physical life, has an end, yet God created a soul and body. Life continues after death, and there's a consciousness after death, because we are soul and body, and what God intended and what sin hampered and what sin interrupted will in a glorious way at the second coming of the Lord and His attention end. The world's coming to an end. I know people like to live to ripe old age, and they're doing everything, and most of the things you see advertised on television are to make us look a little bit better and to feel a little bit better. Sometimes we can look a little bit better, but it only goes so far. sometimes we can even feel a little bit better, but that catches up to us. Even when we look a little bit better, we don't feel as well as we used to, because that's just life. And they're anticipating that maybe we can live to 120 and 150, and well, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The older we get, the worse we'll feel, and the worse that we are in body. The Lord has allowed and allocated and determined that we have 60+10, and by reason of that, if it goes, we have difficulty. Well, guess what? I've made it. I made it. I'm over 70. And that's all that I can expect to live. And When it's time, it's time. But I know from the scripture, though the body dies because of sin, the believer, the Christian, the one who is known by God and who knows God through Jesus Christ, the elect of God, the church of God, does not fear that our souls will be harmed by death. Now, I don't have time because we have communion this morning, and I just don't have time because I always have more to say than I think you can all endure for one at a time. But if you look at Scripture closely, particularly in the Psalms in the Old Testament, but over again in the New Testament, Christians are spoken of death as sleep, And here, this is unfolding in the words and the context in which we find the Lord Jesus Christ and Lazarus. Jesus knew that Lazarus was already dead, and it was all part of his plan and his purpose for the glory of God, and to be the one great capstone, as we noticed last week, and sign of his authority as the Son of God, the miracle of miracles, that he could bring back one from the dead. Only God could do that, and only God has done that through our Lord Jesus Christ. He conquers sin and death through the resurrection. We celebrate, we remember, we commemorate the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the incarnation and the virgin birth. We think about, and we'll be thinking about, his death and what he accomplished for us in his death, bringing us forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God. But also we celebrate and we joy in the resurrection at Easter time, when we recognize he who died, death could not hold him. And that great sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the apostle Peter preached on that great passage is the scripture, and use illustrations from the Old Testament, reminding us that death did not have a hold of him and couldn't triumph from him. And then, of course, we read the great, within the great context of the book of Corinthians, in the 15th chapter, the resurrection is the chapter that speaks of the glory of Christ's resurrection as it appertains to our resurrection. There's both physical resurrection, but spiritual resurrection. Back some time ago, where we're in the book of John, the previous chapter, the fifth chapter, in the right there in the middle on the left-hand side of my Bible, the 25th verse, Jesus is speaking both of the resurrection and the life as it pertains to us spiritually. And then in that same chapter, and that same context, he speaks about the resurrection of the body in time and in place at the Lord's direction. But a lot of times in Scripture, for the believer, the Bible speaks of death. And you're just going to have to look it up, and if you're interested, and see how many times it's sleep. And sleep is good. The older I get, the more I crave sleep, and the more sleep I don't get. I sometimes will say, is it 10 o'clock yet? Is it 11 o'clock yet? I don't like to go to bed before 10. But normally I used to go to bed at 12, and then it was 11:30. Then it was 11 o'clock. And it still is occasionally, but at 10 o'clock I'm ready to at least begin to find rest and look for rest. And rest is good. That's the way we've been created. Sleep is good. It can be therapeutic. If you're sick, it can help you. It can rejuvenate you. It can assist you. We need the sleep of rest. And that's why when the Lord Jesus spoke about death here asleep with Lazarus, his apostles were only thinking of the physical and said to him in the words that we read, well, it's good that he sleepeth. He's sleeping. God has a plan. We awake, we sleep, and we need our sleep. Though some people need little sleep. I'm amazed that I've known a few people in life who slept very little and seemed to be always working, 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 working. I knew a great preacher one time. He was on the radio. He traveled. He preached. And no one could keep up with him. I certainly couldn't keep up with him. I knew one time a person said to me, I was at a Christian conference one time, and one of the ministers wanted us all to wake up at 4 in the morning to go to the prayer. And he was, I thought he was intimidating us a little, that he thought it was necessary for us all to get up at 4 in prayer. I can't think straight at 4 o'clock in the morning. I can wake up and be in bed and sometimes pray for myself or for others who are in need, and many times that is so, but to literally get out of bed and to go somewhere with all other people, I'm not up to it. I'm not up to it. And I don't think that is necessarily something that's required of all of us. I can't get over the President of the United States, who's up at all hours of the morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, calling his cabinet or the people. I'm glad I'm not in any of those positions, because he just sleeps, never to need the sleep, and he's always very busy and at work. And that's just the way God made him, and he makes others. So that his disciples were saying, let him sleep. Let him sleep. But Jesus says he's not asleep. He's dead. He's dead. But of course he knew by his word and by his intent, he would be awakened. It took the power of God and the miracle of God to awaken his dead body, who had been dead for at least 4 days, who were in the grave, began to deteriorate and to stink. But yet at the same time, Lazarus was awakened by the Spirit of God for true life. Because not only is the resurrection a picture for our body, the resurrection is a picture for our souls. It's interesting and noteworthy in Romans chapter 4 verse 25, Paul writes about Jesus was delivered, speaking about his death for our offenses, but he was raised again, his resurrection, for our justification. There in, and we don't have time to look at it, certainly we've looked at it before in Ephesians chapter 1, near the end, Paul is praying for Christians that they might have the spirit and the power of God's resurrection in them. He's speaking about regeneration and the blessings of regeneration. And later on, in the book of Revelation, that 20th chapter, so many people get hung up on there, speaks of the first resurrection. Those who have experienced the first resurrection will not experience the second death. Now, the second death means the judgment that comes at the very end when the Lord Jesus comes and all the wicked and hell itself are cast into the lake of fire. And the first resurrection is not spoken there of the resurrection of the body, but is spoken about as regeneration. Because regeneration is an awakening. We who were dead in our trespasses and sins have been quickened, made alive by the Spirit of God. So there are a number of things that we are able to learn from this 11th chapter of the book of John, the importance of resurrection, and that God gives life. God gives life spiritually, and God gives life physically. God gives life spiritually, and those who live in Him will continue to live, even if their bodies go into death or go into a sleep. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 speaks about those who sleep in Jesus. They sleep in Jesus. Over in our Confession of Faith summarizes, of course, the hope and the very presence of life that we have been awakened to by the Son of God, what the Scripture teaches us way back in John chapter 5, which is enumerated again in John chapter 10, when we looked about Jesus speaking, and His sheep hear His voice, and they follow Him. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is." That's present in His own day. When the dead, He's speaking about all men are dead. Dead spiritually to God, unable to live spiritually in this life and the life to come. When we'll hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live. So the resurrection is translated and transferred to us in the power of regeneration, in which we become alive to God and our souls live. When you sleep at night, you don't become unconscious. You're still conscious. You might not know exactly what's taking place around you, but you dream, you think, you're not unconscious. And so in physical death, our bodies will sleep in the Lord. We're resting. There's another great verse over in the book of Revelation that reminds us, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they will rest from their labors." All the physical activity we have will come to an end. And all the consequences of sin and suffering and misery and sickness comes to an end as our bodies are at rest. Our bodies at our rest. But we are still conscious in our souls because we live absent from the body, present with the Lord. There's no loss of consciousness. So death cannot harm us. We are not to fear death. Though we recognize nobody I've ever met normally who just seeks death, except for some who have suffered a great deal on earth and know that their time is about to come to an end, and they are believers, so they're looking forward to the time that they will be in heaven with God and with Christ, and the physical pain that they are enduring in this life will come to an end as they await in heaven the glorious and return of Christ and the resurrection of the bodies, because God made us soul and body. So the Westminster Confession, our confession of faith as Reformed believers, as Reformed Presbyterians, in chapter 32 sums that up when it tells us the souls of the righteous being made perfect in holiness are received in the highest heavens, where they behold the face of God in light and in glory, waiting for the full redemption of their bodies. Their souls of the wicked are cast into hell, where they remain in torments and utter darkness, reserved in judgment for that great day. So this is the resurrection. We've been awakened spiritually. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he dies physically, he continues to live. That's what we're all about. It's what's inside of us, our soul and our spirit and our bodies. Our bodies, for a while, will be at rest. They'll not be plagued. They'll not be plagued by the miseries of this life and sickness. They're at rest, waiting for the day that they too, and of course you go down, and we've read it when we read back in chapter 5, and that's part of the implication that we have here in the great declaration of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the resurrection and the life. When he spoke first of the spiritual resurrection and regeneration for our salvation, verily, verily, truly, truly, everything in the Bible we're to pay attention to, but he's drawing that line under it. Pay attention. You're going to hear the voice of the Son of God. If we're God's people, we've heard his voice by the Holy Spirit speaking in Scripture and in power and in grace, we've come alive. And then he goes on to say, down a few verses later, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. It's coming. It hasn't yet taken place, in which all that are in the graves will hear his voice, Christ's voice, the voice of the great shepherd, the voice of the Son of God, the voice of the Savior. They'll hear his voice. And many said, and many I think are right when they come to this passage, if Jesus hadn't directed his words specifically to Lazarus and calling him Lazarus, come forth, everyone would have come forth from the grave, because he is the one who spoke the word. And everything that exists came into being. And he is the one we know from Scripture who, he would take his word in and the word of his power, everything would come apart. The only reason things maintained and are sustained are by the words of the Son of God and the intent and the will of the Son of God till the time it fulfills his will and his purpose and his coming at the last day, when all the graves will empty out and the souls that are alive and living with him in heavenly places before his presence, enjoying the blessedness of being free from harm and sin and the consequences of sin, will be reunited with a body like unto his, that will be free. free indeed in righteousness and holiness, free to serve him and enjoy the blessings of God's grace for eternity, where sin and all the problems of sin and death and sickness will be beyond us, both in our soul and our body, as God intended it to be in and on that great day. No harm. No harm. So when we think of death, we think, of course, of that beautiful 24th Psalm that reminds us, the Lord's our helper, the Lord's our shepherd, who in the shadow of death takes us through and provides for us forevermore.